It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. Holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Well, that was Pentatonix's version of It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year from their Christmas album in 2014. The song It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year was first sung by Andy Williams in 1963. And so as part of my introductions this season, I'm going to play a different version of this song. It's very popular in the radio season now, but I like the words of this song. And it is the most wonderful time. I think it is the most wonderful time of year. It's my favorite time of year. And I think the scriptures back this up, too, because as I looked, as I thought about this season and how wonderful it is, I thought, well, what does the scriptures say? And, of course, the scriptures say it's wonderful as well. And if I looked up the word wonderful in the Bible, there are many of them that refer to the Christmas season. It's the most familiar one of them is from Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And there are many others scriptures that talk about being so wonderful and having a lot of wonder at this part of the year. We read about Mary wondering and pondering things in her heart about Jesus' birth. And so they're not just wonderful, but they're filled with wonder. And so I've kind of tweaked my sermon title from It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year to It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Because there's much to wonder about this time of year. If you think about it, there's the change in season with the snow falling. That people most like the first fall of the year, and they wonder when it first comes down, when they first see it. Then after that, it becomes a hassle, right? Then there's the wonder of the lights on the houses and the trees. And this season we have some lights and some trees that we put up on the stage here and around our sanctuary that you can see. And then we thank you for those who helped out yesterday trying to get this all put together. That's wonderful. But there's the wonders of all these lights in the trees and the evergreens that are around this year. We have the wonderful smells from the kitchens this time of year, don't we? Because this is the time of year where we bake those Christmas cookies usually. We usually hold off until this time to make all those good Christmas cookies, and the smells coming from them with the pies and things as well, and all the different meals that we have this time of year. Plus the wonderful time of gathering as a family. Now, we'll have to probably do that via Facebook or via Zoom this year because of all the COVID things, but it's wonderful to gather as a family. We did this for Thanksgiving with my in-laws, and we couldn't be together on Thanksgiving, and so we just had a kind of an hour where we just played games together on Zoom and had a wonderful time. And then at the end, we got a photograph of all five parts of us, our families, together on Zoom. But for us as Christians, the most wonderful part of this year is the wonderful birth that we're celebrating this year. A baby's born. However, for many of us, the look of wonder might be on the child's face as they open their presents. Would be a wonderful thing as well. Like I said, in the Advent candle lighting, the gifts have been part of Christmas from pretty much the very beginning. The three gifts of the wise men of gold, frankincense, and myrrh have inspired others down through the years to give gifts and receive gifts on Christmas. And so this morning, we're going to look at the most wonderful gifts of the seasons. Because when we look at what God has given to us, we can learn how to give to others, right? And so there's many times in the scriptures where it talks about a wonderful gift. And I searched that in my online Bible to find out some passages that talks about the wonderful gift of Christmas, or wonderful gifts that God has given to us. And the first one talks about the gift of generosity. The gift of generosity. As I was doing my word search on the most wonderful gift, the first one to pop out was 2 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:15 simply says this: thank God for his gift, too wonderful for words. It's a gift so wonderful for words that there's no words that can describe it. To truly wonder. And again, I don't know why these things pop up on my Facebook pages every so often, but it just seems so enlightened because this last week, something popped up from 1998 where Robin Williams won the Oscar, I guess it would be, because I didn't write it down, but it's the Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor in 1989 for his Good Will Hunting. And so he was speechless. And he got up on stage, and that's, I really don't know what to say. And when Robin Williams, this classic comedian that's now passed away, he's speechless, he usually is one that can come up with everything, but he was literally speechless. And he said, I'm speechless. I don't have much. He said a few thank yous and things, but for him to be speechless, it was a great honor for him. It's a wonderful gift. And I found this verse here, immediately thought about God's gift of Jesus sent to us, because I was in a mindset of Christmas and wonderful time of the year. Songs were playing in my background, and this was the wonderful gift, too wonderful for words. And so I thought, oh, this is great. I can put my message right around that. But then I thought, well, let me look at what the context of this verse is. And I looked at the context. I saw that it could mean much more than just this gift of Jesus. Because actually, this is coming from 2 Corinthians 9. Paul's talking about giving and how we are to be generous in our giving. It does talk about Jesus as a gift here, but I think Paul is more talking about the gift that they're going to give from the Corinthian church here. See, Paul starts off in verse 6 by saying, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's where we get the God loves a cheerful giver verse from. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I like that passage there in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians because Paul's talking about these Corinthians giving money to the poor in Jerusalem. He's collecting an offering as he goes around to the different churches here on his third missionary journey to collect money for the poor. And he's commending them ahead of time, saying, hey, I know you guys are putting together this offering, this gift to give to the poor. I'm going to be coming here soon. I know you got it ready. I know you're going to do a good job. I know you're going to give generously. He's complimenting them even before they probably have got this offering all together. Because he knows that this church has received from Jerusalem their spirituality. Their spiritual birth came from the church in Jerusalem with Paul coming through them. And so it says, and the least you could do for what all the Jerusalem has done for you spiritually, you can give back to them monetarily. And if you look further in this verse, this word generous is used many times in verse 6, as you see up there, but also in the verse before, in verse 5, it talks about how being generous. And I thought this was a great word, because if you look up this word, it's not used many times in the New Testament, but it's strewn throughout the Old Testament. And it's translated mostly in the Old Testament as a blessing. To be generous means to have a blessing. It's like when Abraham was blessing his son Isaac and said, I bless you, or Isaac, the famous blessing that he was going to give to his older son Esau. Jacob comes in and steals that blessing from him. Remember that story? That's the blessing that parents gave to their children. That's the generosity. That's the good thing, the good gifts that they're giving to their kids. But it's also used in a very unique place, and this has been something that's been around here in this last several months here, especially since the COVID. There's a new song out that notes this. It's from Numbers chapter 6 with the high priestly prayer that the Lord tells Moses to give to the Israelites. He says there in Numbers 6:22, says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless or to be generous to Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Again, that's the same word that's used in the Greek Old Testament there. In fact, it's also the word that we're going to reflect upon in the next month here when our memory verse is going to be from 1 Peter 2:9, how we're called to be a royal priesthood and how we too can bless others, how we too can be that kind of a priesthood, that royal priesthood to bless others. This generosity is a blessing both to the gift and to the giver and will result in the praise of God from all men. And so I thought about this generosity of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians as it relates to God's generous gift. I couldn't help but think how generous God is to us. I mean, he gave us his only begotten son, his only son who he loved, who he was in constant communion and contact with, who was one in spirit in heaven. And he gave him to us to bless us. And to give us so much. And if God was willing to be so generous to give us the gift of Jesus, how we too need to not only receive that gift, but give that gift generously to others. We can be generous and bless others because of what God has done for us. He has given us the gift of Jesus so freely, and so we need to also give this gift to those who are looking for him this season. I'm not just thinking monetarily. I mean, that's great to give our tithes and offerings. It's great to give to charities at this time of year, to missions, or to donate turkeys or donate food to other people. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about giving the gift of Jesus to others. I'm talking about allowing him to work in our lives as we talk with people about this season and say, hey, this season is about Jesus. Do you know him? Can I give you that gift this year? It reminds me of the passage there in Acts chapter 3, where John and Peter are going to the temple and says, I don't have money, but this gift I'm going to give to you, to this blind man. You too can give at this time of year Give your time. Call people up and say, hey, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We talked about in our service this morning about Advent and the gift of Jesus. Hey, let me tell you about him. Sing some Christmas carols. Offer to rake leaves or shovel snow. I mean, you can give things like this that doesn't cost us anything, but can pay dividends if we give generously. And so that's the first thing we need to remember this year, is to give the gift of generosity as well. But there's a second gift that God gives to us, and that's the gifts of the Spirit. This gift is also such a wonderful time of year, because as I searched again through the passage of Scriptures that talk about the wonderful gifts that God gave to us, I came across 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It says, each one of you has been blessed with one of the many wonderful gifts, each one of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength that God supplies. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful forever. Amen. Again, another thing that we've been given by God, not just of Jesus, but these gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is Peter's version of the list of the gifts of the Spirit. Paul has a more extensive list in Romans chapter 12, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or Ephesians 4. There's a group of them in each passage there, and I don't think Paul has listed all of them. But depending on how you count them in the Bible, there's between 10 and 20 different ones, depending on how you combine these four passages together. And like I said, I'm not sure if all of them are listed there. I think these are just a taste that Paul says, hey, here's some things that you might have a gift in. It's important to point out here, though, that it specifically does say that each of you have been blessed with them. So if you are a Christian, you have been blessed with at least one spiritual gift from the Spirit. It says the same thing in Romans and in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, that each of us has been given at least one gift of the Spirit. And in all these passages too, it mentions that these gifts are not for ourselves, for our own benefit. I mean, they might benefit us, but they're more for the body of Christ, more for the believers of the church, to serve others and to edify them. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit who gives them to each one just as he determines. So we don't get the pick of which spiritual gift we'd like, but we get at least one, and we might get more than one. But each Christian has at least one, and I think it's important to think about, what gift has the Spirit given to me? What spiritual talent or ability or spiritual things help me and the church around? How has he given to me? And so there's, again, various lists here, but I found one on Tyndale.com. It has a good list of them, kind of defines them here. It has 18 of them on their website. But each one is a little bit different. I mean, there's administration, which is the ability to help steer the church or a ministry toward a specific completion of a God-given goal. There's an apostle who is a person who's sent to new places with the gospel. Or discernment, which is wisdom to recognize truth from untruth and to correctly evaluate them and behavior, whether they're from God or from ungodly sources. Evangelism is the ability to successfully communicate the message of the gospel to non-believers. And some people have exhortation, the complete competence in offering encouragement and comfort to support someone be all that God wants them to be. There's faith. The people with this gift have such great confidence in the power and promises of God that they can stand strong in their belief no matter what. We have giving. Those who have this gift are particularly willing to be able to share what resources they have and do so with pleasure. Healing, the capacity to be used by God to restore others, whether that be physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. We have the gifts of helps. Someone with this gift is able to support or assist members of the body of Christ so that they may be free to minister to others. Hospitality is another good gift. The natural ability to make even strangers feel welcomed in their own home or church. Knowledge, this gift of someone who is actively pursuing the Bible and the knowledge of the Bible, who enjoys analyzing biblical data, it says. It says there's leadership, an aptitude for a person to stand before a church and direct the body with care and attention, motivating them toward achieving their goals. There's mercy, which manifests itself in compassion and encouragement. Prophecy is the ability to speak the message of God to others, sometimes with foresight or vision on what's to come. Serving is a talent for identifying tasks that need to be done in the body and using their available resources to get the job done. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural ability to speak another language. Teaching is the ability to teach from the Bible and to communicate it effectively for understanding and spiritual growth. And finally, wisdom, a gift of being able to sort through facts and data to discover what is God's will to be done in a church. And like I said, every one of us has at least one of these talents or a talent like this to benefit the church. And so this morning, as I look out there, I think, what do you think your spiritual gift is? What do you think the spiritual has given you today? Do you know what they are? Do you know what gift you have? If not, I would encourage you to take a spiritual gift test or quiz. There are several available online. In fact, recently took one myself. It's good every so often, I think, to kind of reevaluate, to kind of examine yourself to see what talents you have. And I took one that's called the SHAPE test, which not only talks about spiritual gifts, but your heart and what's on your heart, what's on your abilities, your personality, and your experience. It's kind of called the SHAPE test. So you can, again, look those up online. And it not only figures out your spiritual gifts, but all these things as well. And I would encourage every one of you, if you don't know or would like to find out again, to go online. And if you can't go online and would like a spiritual gift quiz, I can print one off for you. If you're more than welcome to ask me, and I would be more than willing to do that. So you can fill it out, and we can look at your spiritual gifts and find out what's right for you. But I would encourage you that everyone would know what their spiritual gifts or spiritual gift is that God has given to them. Because you might be the only one in this church with that spiritual gift. And if Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if you don't have a hand if the hand's cut off and not being used, it's not going to be a full body. You're all to be part of a body of believers, and we'd be incomplete without you or without your spiritual gift. So we need to be aware of God's wonderful gifts of the Spirit. Oops. But also, I found that there's another passage of Scripture that talks about the gift of salvation. There's one more place in the Bible that talks about wonderful gifts that I'm going to mention this morning, and that's from Romans 5, 15 through 17, which says this: "But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gifts. For the sin of one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gifts of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gifts of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over a sin and death through the one man, Jesus Christ." Now, this is kind of a difficult verse to take out of context here and take out of realization, because Paul is writing here in chapter 5 of Romans comparing Adam, the first man, and Jesus Christ, and saying, hey, Jesus Christ is the second Adam and is much greater because God gave the free gift through Jesus. He's comparing Adam, the first man, to this new man, the second Adam that he calls there. You see, Adam sinned and therefore brought sin and judgment to the world. Even though he was just one man, he brought sin and death to everyone because of this. This is how God set it up in the beginning. Now, this might, seem unjust to us. You think, well, because Adam sinned, does that mean I sin, and why do I have and condemned to die too? But God set it up that because that's what the way it needed to be. So when Christ came, that he could be the one. He could be the one man to free us from the death, from sin. Because of the one man, Jesus, we now have life. Because of him, we are no longer condemned through him and have now a right relationship with God. And so he kind of compares these two Adams, he calls them. The first Adam sinned and was condemned and brought separation from God and brought death. But through the one man, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, brings forgiveness and freedom, being right relationship with God, and brings us life. But as I looked at this passage of the scripture, it talks about this wonderful gift of salvation, wonderful grace that God has given to us. In fact, we'll talk about wonderful grace next week. That's going to be our subject next week. But this week, we're talking about this wonderful gift of Jesus. And there's many times in that passage that talk about how this gift of God was given to us. These words, these gifts and grace are the same words we saw in 2 Corinthians before and in the 1 Peter passage that we have kind of used in combination. Wonderful grace and gifts of forgiveness. Here he's talking about salvation. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And without this gift that came to us on that first Christmas morning, we would still be sinners with no hope of salvation and a right relationship with God. You see, Jesus was the only one who was born in order to die. The rest of us were born dead already, right? We're doomed to die as soon as we were born. Our bodies, from the moment we burst from the womb, are doomed to die and start dying and decaying right then. And without Christ, we would still be dead in our sins. But Jesus came forth to give us life, came forth to be born of a virgin, to give us new life in him. That is the message of Christmas. John puts it best in this first chapter of this gospel. Says, in him was life, and he was the light of men. And so this morning, is my question for you is to, have you received this life, this gift of salvation that God is offering to every one of us this morning? This morning, as we celebrate Christmas in this Advent season, I asked you, have you received the gift of God? It's probably the greatest gift that God has given to us. And yet it's the simplest to receive, isn't it? All you need to do is open your heart to Jesus and allow him to come and forgive you of all the wrong things you've done, all the unrighteousness, all the bad things you have done. And it's that simple. It's that simple to allow him to come and forgive you, to accept his gift given to us that first Christmas morn. Do not let one more Christmas pass by without having Jesus in your heart, because he is the best gift of the season, and he'll make this season the most wonderful time of the year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you for the gift of generosity, how generous you were to us, and how you call us to be generous to others. We thank you for your gift of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts you've given to us in order to minister and help the body of believers. We thank you so much for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for him who came to be born for the sins of the world, to live and to die for us, so that we might have forgiveness through you. Help us as we remember this time of year and your wonderful gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.